Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Graham Hart Show with me, Bryster, here on Cornwall Revolution Radio and out of prism.blogspot.com, where Mammy welcomes you to the best news aggregate site on the World Wide Web. It's good to have your company, folks. If you'd like to join us in the chat room, click on the HTML5 chat link on the top right-hand side of the page, just below the player of your choice. So, yeah, welcome everybody. This is the second show of 2019, and hope you're doing well. I really enjoyed the two shows we did over the Christmas Eve and New Year's Day. Really fascinating conversations, and it was great to have all the guests on, and I want to thank all them for their contributions, and thank everybody for their very nice feedback, the positive feedback that we got, so I'm glad you all enjoyed them. So tonight, folks, we're going to have Billy Maguire from the Irish Republican Brotherhood on, and we're going to talk about Ireland's Independence Day, which is coming up on the 21st of January, but it's a very important one because it's actually the centenary, 100 years since we achieved that, so Billy's going to talk about that. And then join us probably for the second hour, but he's going to join us about half an hour, but he'll probably come on for this more for the second hour. Rowan Croft, also known as Gran Torino, he's a well-known YouTuber here in Ireland, and he talks a lot about the issues that are going on in Ireland at this moment in time, so looking forward to having him on. He'll be joining us later. So start off, Billy Maguire, are you there with us, sir? How are you keeping?
I am. Who am I speaking to?
This is Bryster here, Billy.
Bryster?
Yes.
Yeah, Bryster, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
And I'd like to say hello to all your guests.
Yes, indeed. And we had you on before, Billy, yourself and Christina, earlier on in the year. I don't know if you remember that. I think it was just around Easter time. And we had a good old chat with you then, the two of you. But I got you on today.
Can you make it a bit louder? It's very hard to hear. I need to. Can you make it a little louder?
Yeah, hold on a sec, Billy. I'll see what I can do here at my volume. Can you hear me now?
That's a little better, yeah. You can give it more if you can.
I can't. Yeah, let me get my sound settings up here. Where is it? Come on. Sound, yeah. Okay, how's that sound? Is that better?
That's a bit. I can hear you. Yeah.
Okay, that's grand. Sorry about that, Billy. The volume's a bit down. Anyway, Billy, we had you, yourself and Christina on last Easter, I think, talking about the IRB and sovereignty and all of that. Yeah. And, of course, as I say, I want to get you on today because in 2 weeks' time, actually 2 weeks today, it'll be the 21st of January, which is the Ireland's Independence Day. And, of course, a lot of people don't know about that. A lot of people don't know about that, even here in Ireland, Billy. But I know over the last few years, though, it's been getting out more and more and more. And it's all thanks to you, Billy, because other than that, I wouldn't have known about it like 7 or 8 years ago. I hadn't a clue about this myself. So, you know, we have a lot to thank you for that. So maybe
well,
if we just...
But they were a great organization, the Irish Republican Brotherhood. They founded and funded the state, you know, and 1858, and there's a great history there of them, James Stevens and John O'Mahony, and as you know, it was founded down 16 Lombard Street on St. Patrick's Day, 1850. That's the reason why we celebrate St. Patrick's Day, which most people don't know, and John O'Mahony founded in Doheny's in New York on the same day. And if you read those two books, The Fenian Chief by Desmond Ryan and a biography of James Stevens. Mm-hmm. And Desmond Ryan was Pierce's secretary. He went to St. Enda's College, and he was also in 1916, he was in the GPO. And there were a journalist family, and he wrote all that. All that's in that book that people need to know. And, I mean, it's a shocking thing to know that all that information is there, and people know nothing about their history or their sovereignty. And that's what those people did. They are our people. And it's very important, coming up with Brexit and all that. But and you'll see the way they were treated very poorly, and you know, starvation. And they did it all for us, and we don't seem to appreciate it at all. And I was looking at the programs over Christmas, you know, And sure, they never mentioned the IRB, which is an absolute scandal. And the IRB were behind all the Republican parties in this country were founded by. They all come out of the IRBs one way or the other. And that's what they did. And you know, when we went off on my family always supported the Irish and Fenian Republican Brotherhood. We used to rent a room from Mrs. Ryan or Mrs. Vaughan in Vaughan's Hotel. And we eventually then, if you read the proclamation, which I thought maybe you might read tonight, because it's very important.
I can get that up. And just another thing as well, Billy, we have a lot of international listeners, so we might have to kind of go into the geography of a few things, you know, here in Ireland, because they mightn't be aware of places like Vaughan's Hotel.
It's 29 Parnell Square in Granby Row. And as you know, when the Queen came over, that took 10 years to get permission from the Irish and Fenian Republican Brotherhood for her to come here. And she did. And we had to guarantee her safety here. You know, which was quite a big event to do, but anyway, we did it anyway, and it was a successful. I only do the sovereignty and legitimacy of the state. People seem to think that I don't do anything else, only that, and that's the mandate we were given. And what was important, if you read the proclamation in 1916, we only had a provisional government, and we had to have a sovereign government. So we had to wait until the 14th of December 1918 for Britain to call the 32 county election of 1918. And it took until the 28th of December 1918. That's because of the troops coming back from war. Mm-hmm. And the Irish and Fenian Republican Brotherhood, we won that election by 73 votes. And we were given the mandate to found the state, the Sovereign Republic of Ireland, the Sovereign Dáileann Government, the Sovereign Dáileann Courts, and the War of Independence on the 21st of January 1919. That was ratified by the Sovereign Dáileann Government of the Sovereign Republic of Éire in the round room in the Mansion House. Yeah. And they got the mandate to govern all our territory, right from America, right across the Atlantic Ocean, right across the 32 counties of the Sovereign Republic of Éire, to our border with Great Britain, which is down the Irish Sea. And that's what we have the largest territory in Europe. And I keep on saying to people that if we had all our territory today, which we should have got that mandate, you would have no people sleeping on the streets. You'd have the best education system in the world. You would have the best hospital care system in the world. And farmers and people would have, you know, proper
proper way of making a living for themselves.
And that's exactly what you should be. Where it's told today that people are in terrible straits. Even the matter of people who think are wealthy, at the end of the week, they have nothing.
No, they have nothing. They're just working and they've gone on taxes and everything to pay for it. To prop up a provisional government who are doing nothing.
Well, that's what they are, and have no doubt about it. On the 21st of January 1919, they were a sovereign government, of which the Irish and Fenian Republican Brotherhood set out. And just to give you one example, Michael Collins was Minister for Finance on the 21st of January. On the 6th of December 1921, he was only Provisional Minister, you know. And what is so important, which doesn't come up, all those members, De Valera and Collins and all those, Harry Boland and all those that were in the first Sovereign Dáileann government, had to give an oath of allegiance to the Irish and Fenian Republican Brotherhood, to the state, to uphold the state that they found, the Sovereign Republic of Éire, the Sovereign Dáileann Government, and the Sovereign Dáileann Courts, and the War of Independence as a defence force, and to govern all that territory. And that was, if you don't understand that, you can't understand what happened then on the 6th of December and what happened over the so-called treaty. What Britain wanted on the 6th of December, they usurped the sovereignty of the people and they declared Dáileann to be an illegal assembly.
Right. This was in 1918, Billy, wasn't it? December
1918. 1918 is the 32 county election of 1918.
Okay.
The 14th of December, And the 28th, it took that length of time because of the troops coming home. And then on the 21st of January, 1919, that's the sequence. And it's important to understand that, how quickly it happened. And that is the sovereign Dalairn government by the will and wish of all the people of the 32 counties. And that's the mandate we were given to found the state, the Sovereign Republic of Ayr, the Sovereign Dalairn government, the Sovereign Dalairn courts, and the War of Independence as a defence force. It's crucial to know that, because that can't be changed, you know, and the sovereign constitution is very important. And the proclamation, the sovereign constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and the Address to the Free Nation, they're the foundation documents. And that's what they had to do. They gave the oath of allegiance, all those two. And De Valera always used that all his life. He said he never gave the oath of allegiance to the Crown of England. But that's what happened in 1922. They had to give the oath of allegiance to the Crown of England. And they had to they governed the 26 counties. Britain wanted to just control Dalairn and control the Dalairn courts. And that's what they did. And you can read that in those books, The Fenian Chief. You can also read it in Money for Ireland. And those are two wonderful books by Francis N. Carr. And you'll see in America when they try to get the money back, because Britain hadn't any money in after the war in this, to set up the Free State. And all that money was collected by Friends of Irish Freedom. And as you know, my own family, we bought Fáin's Hotel for the Irish and Fenian Republican Brother, Cumann na mBan, na Fianna Fáil, na hÉireann. And we put them into Fáin's Hotel. And without that, and we donated over £1 million for that election. And without that, you wouldn't have your independence today. And that money was all misappropriated and it was all wrong. And I think it's time all that information come out. And I think
who do you think took all that money? Where did it all go?
If you read that book, Money for Ireland, Finance, Diplomacy, Politics, and the First Dollar in Loans, 1919 to 1936, Francis M. Carl. And I spoke to Francis M. Carl before Christmas. His family were evicted here, probably his great-grandfather, and they went to Canada, and his mother sent him to Trinity here in Dublin. He's retired now from history in Canada. Yeah. And he did all that, and he got... And the American Bar Council, which would be the Supreme Court in America, ruled that de facto and de jure governments are, they claimed that the Free State was imposed by the Crown of England. And they wouldn't give Collins and those, the Free State tried to get the money and they wouldn't give it back to, they wouldn't give it to them because of that. The sovereign Dalairn government is by the will and wish of all the people. And if you look at Brexit today, what's happening, you see the Crown of England, Britain doesn't have a sovereign government. And I wrote that to Michel Barnier and that in 2016 and that, and there was ructions over it. They have a sovereign. You go back to 1155 for Baden the Fourth, who illegally and fraud, the only English Pope, gave it to Henry II to build his empire. And then you go to Henry VIII, Christian people believe that only the Pope in Rome, Christ's vicar on earth, can anoint a sovereign. And Henry VIII fell out with the Pope in Rome. And he declared himself Dea Mundurat, that he was equal to God. And he didn't need the Pope in Rome to anoint himself. And that's not right. And they haven't had a sovereign in Britain since Henry VIII did that.
Yeah. And, so even the Queen is known as the sovereign.
She's not sovereign. They have royalty, but not sovereignty.
Yeah. And the people in Britain are sovereign, though, aren't they? They're not.
They're subjects to the crown, and not entitled. They're subjects to the crown are not entitled to a referendum. It's only the Queen is sovereign. Then she has the only one that can decide whether Britain stays or leaves the European Union. And I wrote all that to Europe. You'll see it on those letters if you go to BillyMaguire.com. And there was ructions over it. I mean, I got my door walloped in my car and everything, you know. Really? And then they said, and I explained exactly what I've said to you about Henry VIII, that, you know, Christians believe that only the Pope in Rome, Christ figure on earth, can anoint a sovereign. And they said, we have to get back our sovereignty. We said, if they have to get it back, they don't have it. And then it all came out, and that's why you're seeing down the Irish Sea, that was the border. We have to have a sovereign government to sit in Europe. General de Gaulle wouldn't allow Britain into, because the European common market at the time, because they didn't have a sovereign government. They have a royal government, royal courts of justice, and the crown force. That's not sovereignty. Right. That's royalty. And that's the difference between the two. And yeah. That's why it was so important for the Irish and Fenian Republican Brothers to have a sovereign government. You know?
So what about other countries that are in the EU, like Spain and Belgium and Holland, who've got, well, what's the difference there?
Ours is different from theirs, that the people are sovereign, and they have to vote. That's why you have to have a referendum here on anything you change.
Right. It's royal assent, isn't it? The difference in Britain is it's royal assent.
It's royal assent. On that subject, on the 16th of March, 2017, the Queen Elizabeth gave royal assent to Article 50 of Brexit, and she took Ireland out of the under the coat of arms of the Crown of England, England, Scotland, Ireland, England, and Britain, out of the common, out of the EU, and she didn't have the right to do that. But she only gave royal assent because she doesn't have sovereignty. And that's the whole point of the whole issue. And I brought all that up in Europe, and there was ructions over it. But the point is, as the time went on, it became very clear who had the sovereignty and who hadn't the sovereignty and what sovereignty is about. Sovereignty is about life. And as you know, when we go back, and we can go back 10,000 years in our sovereignty. And I claim that, you know, the Celtic people, those two five-stringed harps that were on the Ark of the Covenant, the harp is the covenant between God and men with all the information, knowledge for his planet Earth and our civilization, all mathematics, all science, all astronomy, all that today, all that you see, all that technology, that all comes from the harp, the wheel, you know, how you build your ship, how you build your civilization. And those two five-string harps, they're over the four courts, but they're not properly aligned. And they were on the Ark of the Covenant. That was Celtic Christianity. And that was brought from right across the Middle East, right across to Europe, and right across to North Africa to here. And it came to Lochgar in County Limerick, the old, where the stone circle is there, the harp stone is there. Yeah. And those two five-stringed harps, because your two fingers, it's all about your own being and how you understand it and how you understand civilization. And that's what's so important. The Romans then changed it to two angels. But we don't recognize that. That's Roman Catholicism and Roman Christianity. But the old Celtic one was the two five-string harps, and that's why they're over the four courts. And when the Pope came here, I asked him to restore that for the sovereign Irish people, those two five-string harps.
Yeah, the four courts.
That's what's on our fields in that, you know. And to understand.
Sorry, I just wanted to give our internationalists, the four courts are the main courts in Dublin. They're the High Court, Supreme Court, and...
Yes, well, but unfortunately, as you know, on the 21st of January, they were the sovereign Dáilíne courts. And if you read that book, because I'm telling you about Money for Ireland, the Free State, the Free State set them up as Free State under the Crown. They are under the Crown of England, unfortunately, today. And, and the Free State is never sat. The Dáilíne never sat in Leinster House. It's the Royal Dáil that sits in Leinster House. And they use our tricolour flag, and they put a gold braiding round it, which is British Admiralty, and the Sovereign Seal. They use our Sovereign Seal, but they can't put air underneath it. But that's no use in Europe. You have to have a sovereign government, which we have on the 21st of January, and all that territory. And the Irish and Fenian Republican Brotherhood are not going to give, you know, we want to see the Oath of Allegiance. And there is a problem at the moment with people trying to claim that they're members of the IRB. The IRB is an oath-bound organization. And unless you have signed and sealed your oath of allegiance to the IRB to uphold the state that was founded and funded by the IRB in those elections, which I called out on the 14th, the 28th of December 1918 and ratified on the 21st of January 1919, and to uphold the sovereign constitution. And that's you have to have that oath of allegiance, and you have to sign it. And I am going to ask the we have difficulties. We've always had difficulties with the IRB, people trying to take them over and that, and use our sovereignty and use our symbols. But I believe that, and somebody rang me to tell me that there's Tom Ryan, which you have had on your program, I believe, is trying to claim that he's president of the Irish and Fenian Republican Brotherhood. But I would like to ask Tom Ryan tonight to send in, can't he email in his oath of allegiance to the sovereign Dáilean government and to the Irish and Fenian Republican Brotherhood. Sovereignty is something you either have or you don't have. And we found it on the 21st of January. He's not a member of the IRB. And I have no, I should have those oath of allegiance. And I'm going to ask Leo Varadkar to see his, I haven't got any oath of allegiance from Leo Varadkar. I haven't got any oath of allegiance from the Crown Corner. I haven't got an oath of allegiance from the Chief Justice. I haven't got an oath of allegiance from the head of the Garda Síochána, the Commissioner. That oath of allegiance guarantees the Irish people that they are working for the Irish people and not for anybody else. And I'm saying to you, the Free State was set up by the Crown of England to control Dáilean and to control the Dáilean courts and to take all the assets of the state and to govern just the 26 counties. But the 32 county election that I'm speaking about is for all our territory, and it should be all governed. And if it was, we wouldn't be in such poverty today, and we'd have, as I just said, the finest health care and hospital care and education and farming and all that. And that's what's so important about the Irish and Fenian, and that's what we do. And we hold that sovereignty, and that's the mandate we were given on the the 28th of December 1918 by 73 votes to found the state.
Yeah, and Billy, what would you say to people up in, you know, in the north of Ireland who would consider consider themselves loyal to the Crown? So what?
If you go back to I have written to the European Union. They're doing exactly today in Brexit what the Crown of England and the British government did to us on the 6th of December 1921. They ignored us. That's a sovereign vote by the sovereign people. And they just ignored it because they had the Crown forces, which were superior to anybody else's forces. And they just, all that they ever did was send in the Crown forces and destroyed people and destroyed the countryside. And that's what they did when they sent in the Black and Tans and the auxiliaries here to the people and wiped out the people. And they've always been doing it. They found themselves now at the moment, we have 27 countries in Europe behind us. And we don't want any war or violence or anything like that. We just want the welfare. Always the IRB, our first words, are the right and welfare of the sovereign Irish people. That's what we do, and that's what we want to receive. We want them to be properly educated and to have all the assets of the state invested in our people. Mm. And that's what it's all about, and that's what the first sovereign Dáilean was about, and not taking the assets and giving them to somebody else. And that is the only sovereign Dáilean that can sit in the European Parliament and use the Irish and Fenian Republican Brotherhood's tricolour flag and their sovereign seal of Dáilean Psaltery 12 strings AD, which is now 2019, and use that sovereign constitution. And I think it's time all that went out to the Irish people. You are sovereign, and that's what those people gave their lives for. Those four documents that I've said to you, the proclamation, the sovereign constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and the Address to the Free Nations. And when we bought Vaughan's Hotel for the Irish and Fenian Republican Brotherhood, coming among the Fenian in the Héireann in 1917, for that sovereign Dáilean government, we had the support of all the Irish and Fenian Republican Brotherhood in Canada, in America, in Europe, in Australia, in France, Italy, Belgium. You know, all these countries. We had 200,000 sworn IRB members in Britain alone, and we had complete all supporting the purchasing Vaughan's Hotel. We didn't just purchase it out of the blue. We had the support of the people, and Britain. They were afraid of their lives. I mean, Woodrow Wilson nearly got a heart attack over the whole thing because he was an Orangeman. And when he saw the support that we had, and he saw the rallies that were there. And, you know, and I go back to the Irish and Fenian Republic when they were founded by James Stephens and John O'Mahony. He walked 3,000 miles around Ireland to set up the Irish and Fenian Republican Brotherhood. And they were set up in St. Patrick's, 1858, down in 16 Lombard Street and in Dohany's in New York. And, you know, you can see it yourself. And I think if we have time, I would just like to read that little piece. I don't know whether you're going to read the proclamation or not.
Yeah, I'll read it for you, Billy. Yeah, I have it up here in front of me. I'll read it out now.
Yeah, I think you should, because it's such an important document.
And, oh, it is. It's a beautiful document, actually. It's all in there. Yeah, yeah.
And it tells you who owns that. And it also says, and I would just say to you on the Fenian chief on page 90, on the 17th of March, 1858, Danieff arrived in Dublin. He was a tailor from Kilkenny. With the acceptance of Stephen's terms by the New York Committee, and the £80, the subscription, was the very minimum stipulation. Danieff reported there was no actual organized body of sympathizers in New York, but merely a loose knot of associates disturbed Stevens. Yet he went ahead at once, and that very evening the Irish Republican Brotherhood was established in Peter Langan's timber yard. And that's 16 Lombard Street in Dublin. And John O'Mahony founded the Fenian Brothers, their sister organizations, in Dohany's in New York. And it's there for anybody to read that. And that's what's important. That's why we celebrate St. Patrick's Day and use our tricolor flag. And I'll just read the other little piece of this, page 316 on the Fenian Chief. Now, there's 23 of those books in the library system, that anybody can go into the library and read and get a copy of that book. Because they now, James Stephens, this is page 316. He died early on Friday morning, the 29th of March, 1901, after a sudden and unexpected attack of weakness at the home of his brother-in-law, John Payne, 82 George's Avenue, Black Rock, County Dublin. Around his coffin was wrapped the Fenian tricolour of green, white, and orange, which within 15 years became the banner of that decisive national revolt for which the dead man had plotted and dreamt of so long in vain. That was the 1916 Rising. But doesn't it tell you quite clearly who owns the Irish and Fenian Republican Brotherhood? You know, I was brought in by another Irish and Fenian Republican, Thomas Francis Marr, and when they came in, it was the orange nearest to the pole, and the Irish and Fenian Republican Brotherhood changed it to green. And that's why when we read our proclamation, you see me holding the tricolour flag, because we still owned it. And look, if they're not going to recognise the Irish and Fenian Republican Brotherhood, which they're not at the moment, we weren't invited to one commemoration in 2016, and you know, they always said, oh, The RTE and all those programs say, the state was founded in 1922. The minute Michael D. Higgins was elected this time, they came out and said to the Parliament, the state was founded on the 21st of January 1919, which is correct. And how is it we can't be told the truth until now? Yeah. You know, sovereignty is crucial. And the other document that I just would like to refer to is the Sovereign Constitution. And that's very important. And hold on a second, here we are. And I'd just like to because people should know what the Sovereign Constitution, that was the 21st of January, 1919. And here we are, the Constitution, Vaughan's Hotel, the Republic of Ireland, IRB, to the most Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, we, the people of Ireland, dedicate our constitution and beg the guidance of the Holy Spirit that it may in consonance of with thy divine will and contribute to the greater glory. Amen. This constitution shall be the constitution of the Republic of Ireland, proclaimed in arms on Easter Monday, April the 24th, 1916, and established by the will of the people of Ireland on January the 21st, 1919. And I'll just quote the first article on it. Article 1. The sovereignty of the nation is inalienable. It is therefore not within the competence of any generation of people to surrender that sovereignty which each generation holds in trust for the nation. The question of surrender of national independence may not be submitted to an electorate. Subject to that fundamental principle, it is hereby declared all authority in Ireland, legislative, executive, and judicial, and all powers of government are derived solely under God from the people of Ireland. These powers are inherent in the people alone by virtue of their sovereignty. They must be exercised in accordance with the principles of liberty, equality, and justice for all. Any legislation not in accordance with these principles is hereby declared to be null and void. And I just skip to Article 10, which is important, especially today. Mm-hmm. And that is the land of Ireland. The land of Ireland belongs to the citizens of Ireland and to them alone. They can come, these vulture funds, and take your house, slate by slate, brick by brick, but you still own the land underneath it. Mm-hmm. And that's important for people to know. Yeah. And you can go into the courts, but you must go in properly. You must write to the court clerk, and you must ask him that you want your case heard under the sovereign constitution. Mm-hmm. And you must ask to see his license. And you must write to the, and you must say to the judge, I want to see your license, because the judge is under the free state. He's not under the sovereign constitution. And, mm-hmm. excuse me. And that's what's so important for people. They should know that. Now, if you could read the proclamation, I think we'd have a good idea.
Yes, I will. Yeah. Okay. The Provisional Government of the Irish Republic to the people of Ireland. Irish men and Irish women, in the name of God and the dead generations from which he receives her old tradition of nationhood, Ireland through us summons her children to her flag and strikes for her freedom. Having organized and trained her manhood through her secret revolutionary organization, the Irish Republican Brotherhood, and through her open military organizations, the Irish Volunteers and the Irish Citizen Army, having patiently perfected her discipline, having resolutely waited for the right moment to reveal itself, she now seizes that moment and, supported by her exiled children in America and by gallant allies in Europe, but relying in the first on her own strength, she strikes in full confidence of victory. We declare the right of the people of Ireland to the ownership of Ireland and to the unfettered control of Irish destinies to be sovereign and indefeasible. The long usurpation of that right by a foreign people and government has not extinguished that right, nor can it ever be extinguished except by the destruction of the Irish people. In every generation, the Irish people have asserted their right to national freedom and sovereignty. 6 times during the past 300 years, they have asserted it in arms. Standing on that fundamental right, and again asserting it in arms in the face of the world, we hereby proclaim the Irish Republic as a sovereign independent state, and we pledge our lives and the lives of our comrades in arms to the cause of its freedom, of its welfare, and of its exaltation among the nations. The Irish Republic is entitled to and hereby claims the allegiance of every Irish man and Irish woman. The Republic guarantees religious and civil liberty, equal rights and equal opportunities to all of its citizens, and declares its resolve to pursue the happiness and prosperity of the whole nation and all of its parts, cherishing all the children of the nation equally, and oblivious of the differences carefully fostered by an alien government which have divided a minority from the majority in the past. Until our arms have brought the opportune moment for the establishment of a permanent national government, representative of the whole people of Ireland and elected by the suffrages of all her men and women, the provisional government hereby constituted will administer the civil and military affairs of the Republic in trust for the people. We place the cause of the Irish Republic under the protection of the Most High God, whose blessing we invoke upon our arms, and we pray that no one who serves that cause will dishonour it by cowardice, inhumanity, or rapine. In this supreme hour, the Irish nation must, by its valour and discipline, and by the readiness of its children to sacrifice themselves for the common good, prove itself worthy of the august destiny to which it is called. Signed on behalf of the Provisional Government, Thomas J. Clark, Sean McDermott, P.H. Pierce, James Connolly, Thomas McDonough, Eamon Kant, Joseph Plunkett.
Well, I must congratulate you on the beautiful way of you have read that. It is really
incredible. Thank you very much.
You know, most people, they don't understand. And you see what I said about we only had the Provisional Government. You see where they're getting it from. And then they had to have a sovereign government. And that's why
I noticed the word sovereign is used three times in this as well.
It's all about sovereignty, that the people are sovereign. And you have, you have republics, but their people are, they don't emphasize sovereignty as much as we do. The sovereignty of the people is, that means you have the assets of the state. You can't take the land from the people because they're sovereign. You can't, and that's what's happening at the moment. We don't want a free state government. And in Europe, we have a sovereign government, and we're entitled to sit in Europe and use our tricolour flag and use our sovereign seal of Dáil Éireann. We don't have to be beholden to anybody. Mm. But I think that, you know, this thing going on with Brexit and all that, we have a sovereign government, and we're entitled to be there. And it's a 32, Dáil Éireann is a 32-county sovereignty. And that's what we want.
But Billy, is it a good? You mean the EU isn't a friend of Ireland, though, is it?
No, it's not. But the point is,
what's your point here? Because I mean, I know we want to be friends with our European neighbours, right? And we want to trade with them and all of that.
But that's what it's all about. The truth as well, that we only have provisional government, and we have got benefits. We have got a lot of benefits, but we should be there telling us what we want, what the people want. And I mean, not just there as slaves. And as I said about the Roman Empire, when they changed from the 2 5-string harps in Celtic Christianity to the Roman Christianity, which was two angels, you know, they're just in slavery. And you're just coming back to slavery again. People are telling me there's nothing for, we have nothing at the end of the week. We're in debt all the time. You know, that's not what the Irish and Fenian Republican Brotherhood set out to do. And people are sovereign. You have a sovereign right to own your house and live in your house. And if you read the proclamation, it's a wonderful document telling you how you should live and what you can do. But the problem is, we have a free state provisional government, which is only seems to be concerned with governing the 26 counties for the Crown of England. That's not on anymore. That's out. And look, I told you that on the 16th of March 2017, The Crown of England gave royal assent. She didn't give sovereignty, and she has abdicated any claim she has on the Free State. It's a 32 county again, and that's what. All the people in Northern Ireland are very welcome in here. I can tell you, Northern Ireland is a beautiful place. My own family, we come from Fermanagh, and we came. Conor McGuire, he was the last of my ancestors drawn from Fermanagh, Lough Erne, and the River Shannon to the estuary of the Atlantic. And Britain couldn't have had conquer here without the Shannon. They had to have from right across from the east coast, right across to the Shannon. That's where they did, and they evicted all the people. We've had an awful time under that. And our people, look, we want is the welfare of our people and the happiness of our people, which says it in that. And look, I think we have a lot, and we could have a lot. All we need is that sovereign Dáil Éireann government. And that's what we want, and that's what we're going to get. And we're not. There was no border on the 21st of January 1919. And why would they impose a border? And they're shouting now about Europe imposing this and imposing that. Now look, we're not against Britain, and we're not against anybody, but we want to look after our own people. That's the population. How many people know about our sovereignty? How many people know the Sovereign Trinity or what we're talking about, the proclamation? It's not taught in schools.
That's the problem, Billy. I mean, this should all have been taught in schools when from about 4 or 5 years old, you know, and we should have been.
Absolutely. And the tricolour flag And you, if you take a coin out of your pocket, 14 strings that Ernest Blythe put on the coins, and put it up in the mirror, you see the half of the solitary. And I say, there's no man or woman understands God. It's in the proclamation which you just read. You don't, and I don't care who you are, you don't understand God, and nobody does. But you can understand the covenant he gave us in Anno Domini, and that was that's when Christianity came. And there are the two five-string harps, all mathematics, all science, all astronomy. Everything comes from that. And how you measure time, you know, the sundial, the compass, the wheel, how men learn to weave his cloth, everything. The wheel is so important. The curved side is the fellows of the wheel. The strings become the spokes, and the hub of the wheel is the eye that man can travel the world. But you look at the Tophet, the sunship and the moonship. And I often talk about Christopher Columbus going to America and that. And the right we have, I said, about going to America, we come from America. It's the Brendan voyage we claim back from. You know, we're a seafaring family. And Patrick McGuire was the one who bought the Spanish cruise. They had three crews, and they followed the Brendan voyage up to Iceland, and they decided they wouldn't go that way. The Spanish couldn't sail the Atlantic Ocean. They knew nothing about it. Those caravels, they had no keel on them. They couldn't control them. And they didn't know anything about the trade winds and that. And just Patrick McGuire taught them that. And when they went to, they didn't know it was America, but when they came there, it was decided when he was Christopher Columbus to us that Patrick McGuire would claim it for Ireland and Christopher Columbus would claim it for Spain. And it became America, and that's where that comes from. And that's in the archives in Madrid and in the Vatican. And, you know, that's our claim, and that we can go, we're the only country that can set foot in America. That's before it became America, and before it came the United States of America, and before it came Canada and all these places. And that's our claim, and that's our right, and I think we should know that. And people are not taught anything like that. And they're not taught where civilization comes from. Those two strings, the first four strings, are earth, air, fire, and water, man's intellect and reason, and his five senses. And, you know, we talked about the European flag. You know, the stars, the five-pointed stars. And you have at Christmas, and yesterday was little Christmas Day, you know, the three wise men riding around in camels following the stars. That's only for children. They are harp signs, and the first four are earth, air, fire, and water, points of those stars. They're harp signs. And the fifth is that European is sovereign and the people in Europe are sovereign. That's what that means. And why aren't we taught all that? Why aren't we taught about mathematics? And why aren't we talk about Loch Gur, where the harp stone is 10,000 years ago, that are our ancestors? And why aren't we taught about when Cromwell came, he camped his troops there, and Ireton, his son-in-law, they defaced all those stones with all that information on them. And he executed Bishop O'Brien of Limerick. And Bishop O'Brien put the curse of Cromwell on him. And he said, you'd be dead within 14 days. He was actually, Ireton was dead within 8 days. And that they tore all those psalters. The Book of Psalms is the psalter. And I said to you, take a coin out of your pocket, every child with 14 strings. It has the two images from wrong to right, evil to good, and man's intellect and reason. And that's Homo sapiens, how you understand the world and our civilization. And that Bodleian Library, that's where the Askeaton Psalter and all those psalters that Cromwell's men destroyed. They didn't want the Irish to know where they came from or whether they didn't want them, just wanted them to be slaves. And I think those days are gone. And I think, you know, when you think of technology, all comes from the two five-string harps, and we have it as our symbol, and we don't even know what it is or respect it. Mm-hmm. You turn it upside down, this is the sundial, the compass, the wheel. You know, all geography, all maps are made with those two strings when they touch latitude and longitude. All how men learn to weave his cloth. You know, that's all our ancestors had. And why can't it be taught? What's wrong with telling the truth to the people? And how are they able to come out now and tell the people that the state was founded on the 21st of January? And for the last 100 years, they couldn't tell them that? Mm-hmm. You know, that's not. Yeah. There's something very wrong going on, and they should be held accountable. We have the highest paid politicians and civil servants in the world, And they should be governing all that territory for us, and you should be getting the benefit of it. And that's what it should be. And people should be held accountable, and they should stand up and say that we're only a provisional free state government, and we have to be, we want to be a sovereign government of the 21st of January, which they're trying to say now. And yet, they had a commemoration, the Royal Oireachtas, in the Royal Irish Academy on the 11th of December. We weren't even invited, the Irish and Fenian Republican. And they had all these politicians, they had all these wonderful historians, and they never mentioned the Irish and Fenian Republican Brotherhood. Never even mentioned it. And all in 2016, at all the events they had, we weren't invited to one. And there's the Lord Mayor. He won't invite the Irish and Fenian Republican Brotherhood into the Mansion House on the 21st of January. And I believe, I'm told this evening, that they are going to have a day, I think there's the, is it the 18th or something, and that the Lord Mayor is having 3 days, I think, Saturday, Sunday, and Friday, Saturday, and Sunday before the 21st, where he's inviting the public in. I'm told whether this is true or not, I don't know. I was told that this evening. And I'm told that the Free State government is going to sit in and claim that they're the legitimate heirs to 1916. And yet they won't invite the Irish or Fenian Republican Brotherhood. Yet they put they won't put ERA under the sovereign seal because the Crown of England doesn't allow them. You know, we have the makings of a sovereign government. And why aren't the people told that? Your passport is Irish and Fenian Republican Brotherhood. They own that passport. And that's the 21st of January 1919 document with ERA on it. And that's what you have to have. And that's what was the name of the state is the Sovereign Republic of ERA, and that's where you get your sovereignty from. Mm-hmm. And we've gone through it there now pretty well, yeah. Telling people how to do it. But I would go back to this division in the IRB, which is I don't know where it came out of. I'm old. I'm very old. I'm the last member left of the Supreme Council, mm-hmm. and as I said, 20 years ago. The IRB set up a committee that would get people in to that would be suitable to run the IRB for the next 100 years. My family have done it now for 100 years, and I have done it for 56 years, and that's long enough for me. And we wanted to try, and I didn't know any of this was going on. We go to Hayes's Hotel down in Thurles, because that's where we founded the GAA. The GAA was the backbone of the Irish and Fenian Republican Brotherhood. And I often say about President Geary, the fourth president of India. India didn't have any. We would have known Mahatma Gandhi and that. And there, they hadn't. They couldn't. He came here, Geary, in about 1912, and he studied law. And he was a member of the Irish and Fenian Republican Brotherhood, and he was a member of Sinn Féin and Ogden na hÉireann. And he learned all that. But they didn't have any way of uniting the people in India. But we had the GAA. That's what was set up. There was a GAA club in every little town and village in Ireland. And, I mean, the Hurleys, they drilled with those Hurleys, which are known as the Tipperary Rifles, because they were the Crown Forces with them. But he went back to India. And it's the Liverpool Salt Tax came out of. And Britain put a tax on the Indian people. Now, with evaporation, with the heat there, and you have to have salt to preserve everything. And that's what united the Indian people when they put that salt tax. And our proclamation is there, and our sovereign constitution is their sovereign constitution. And they have our flag, and they have it turned the other way. And they used to come every year to the Mansion House until the door was slammed against them on the 21st of January. That's how much they appreciate. And that's how much... Look, the Irish and Fenian Republican Brotherhood is for the 70 million people worldwide. And that's what we had when we set up Vaughan's Hotel. We had all those people united amongst us. And that's when Britain saw the number of people we had, 200,000 alone in Britain, and sworn members of the IRB, and all those people in America and Canada, as I've said, in Australia, all over the world. They had to give us our independence. They didn't want to, but they had to because they knew there was going to be trouble if they didn't. And that's how they did it. But it was the unity of the people. And when I see the likes of Tom Ryan saying that he's president of the Irish Republican Brotherhood when he isn't even a member of it. And yeah. And where the simple question has to be asked, where is your oath of allegiance? And can you please text that into the show now until we all see it? Either you have sovereignty or you don't have it. And I always thought Tom Ryan was a great friend of mine, and I always thought that he would be a great man to lead the Irish and feed the Republican Brotherhood.
I know Tom. I haven't seen him for quite a few years now. But
sorry?
I know Tom. I haven't seen him for quite a few years.
I met him in Dublin about 3 years ago. He came with a piper to one of our commemorations, and I thought he was a great man. And I thought he was a great
man, and
a very great, good talker, speaker, and all that. But he didn't comply with any of the what was set up by the Irish and Fenian Republican Brotherhood. You know, they set up that committee, and all they did was disband it. When I got the letter, I thought it was the names of all the people that were to be their sworn allegiance to the Irish and Fenian Republican Brotherhood and to the state, and that they were the ones that were going to be initiated into the IRB. No, they disbanded the committee and went off themselves. And I don't know why they did it. I don't know why and where. And I don't know where they're coming out of. Where are they getting that? And if they go into court, well, just take an instance, right? The courts are under the Free State, and they're Free State. They're under the Crown of England and the British Free State system. And the Chief Justice has come out and he's confirmed that only recently. Now, if one of those go into court and the judge will ask him, where are you getting your sovereign authority from? And he'll have to show that in court to the judge. And he's supposed to say to the judge then, now, judge, where are you getting your sovereign authority from? And the judge doesn't have it either. And neither does Leo Varadkar. It's like your passport. Where would you go in the world without your passport? And you won't go anyplace, will you? You have to have these documents in your hand. And that's why I say the first thing that they had to have, that you read it in the proclamation, and it's made quite clear, and then the reason for those All-Ireland elections of the 14th of December 19th, that established it. And that's the mandate that I hold, and that's the mandate that we turn every year in the Mansion House.
I'll have to talk to you more about that, Billy, because I'm in courts myself, so I might need to. I might have a word or two.
Well, if you are going to court,
Yeah.
Do it properly. Write to the court clerk and say you. If you don't, they'll hold you under contempt of the Free State courts under the Crown of England. You're going in, and they will regard you once you go in that you have given them jurisdiction over you. But you, what you're telling them is, we want our case heard under the sovereign constitution. And you write in the court car and informing of that, and you'll want to see his license to hold a court. They have to have a license to hold a court. And the license has to be the sovereign seal with air underneath it.
Right.
And you ask the judge, and the judge is not appointed. You see, the Free State judges are only appointed by Michael D. Higgins. He can only appoint a Free State judge.
Yeah.
But you want, he has to get off the bench. Because he can only be appointed by the president of the Irish and Fenian Republican Brotherhood to hear a sovereign court. Mm-hmm. And he's, so he doesn't have, so you win your case by default, is how you win your case.
Right.
And it's time that, and there have been, and a lot of those people that have suddenly gone off on their own have won a lot of cases in the courts. But the point is that judge will ask those people, now, can I see your oath of allegiance? If Tom Ryan isn't prepared to assign the oath of allegiance to the sovereign Dáil-Éireann government, I mean, I don't understand why he wouldn't do it, or why, what's his objection to it. I mean, it can't be two ways. You either are a Free State or you're a sovereign. And why he didn't do it, and why he wasn't sent in to me, or why Leo Varadkar doesn't do it, or why the Chief Justice doesn't do it. Look, that all has to come out. Because in Europe, you have to have sovereignty. We have it. And to use the tricolour flag, or to use the sovereign seal of Dáil-Éireann, and you have to be genuine, and you have to look. We have to be truthful and tell those 27 people who are supporting us. You can't be lying and cheating to them. Propaganda, lies, and deception, and fraud. We don't want that. We have nothing to do with that. And we don't want it anymore. You have to be above board and to use those sovereign scenes. And I think it's time it came out. And look, you own your land. And even though your house and that, those voucher funds, I would ask those voucher funds. There's no bank has a legal, valid or bona fide license. They haven't got a license. Yeah. And I go into the bank and ask, can I see your license, please? And if a guard stops you on the road, he'll say to you, can I see your license? And you show him your license. And you say to him, now can I see your license, guard? Because you're the sovereign. And the tax in your car, you're the sovereign seal. It should have air underneath it. So go out and write air underneath that tax in your car. And you can drive any place in the 32 counties, any place in Great Britain, and any place in Europe once you have air written under that. Because that's sovereignty. And that's what you're doing.
Okay, you know, Billy, we have another guest lined up for the second hour, but before we do that, we have a big celebration coming up in 2 weeks' time. Today. So, to people in Ireland, and, you know, people who are in the UK maybe want to come over for this, because it's a big day. It's 100 years. So what's the plan? What's the plan, Billy?
We'll go knocking the door at 12 o'clock in the Mansion House. They probably won't let us in. We're told now this evening that the Free State government will be there, and they're going to try and claim that they're the legitimate heirs to 1916. Mm-hmm. I wish they were, and I wish they would uphold the sovereignty. And until I have those documents in my hand, that they uphold the sovereign, you know what I've just said, they're not. And they should do it. And that should be a big thing. But it's not. Look. You have to have sovereignty, and you read your document. How many times did you say you saw it on it? How many times is in the sovereign constitution? It's there all the time. That's what those people did for you, and that's why. And it's how important it was for those people who went out and gave their lives and suffered. We have. All we want is that sovereign government of the 21st of January 1919, and I think this country would be booming, and I think the people would be happy. And our worldwide, 70 million people worldwide, they'd be very proud of us. And we'd be very proud of them. And that's all we want, is the welfare of our people and of our children and that.
Right. So we're meeting 12 noon outside the Mansion House, which is on Boston
Street.
Yeah,
and then we're going to the Teachers Club, because it's beside Vaughan's Hotel. And we probably have to turn the seal at Vaughan's Hotel, as we had to do it in on the 21st of January 1919, because we're not going to be allowed in. We weren't allowed in before. I don't know why. They're in denial of the facts. Yeah. But we're only going to allow those people who have given that oath of allegiance, the Taoiseach and the Concord and all these people, who have given that oath of allegiance, that De Valera always had, Collins had, all those people had, that can use the Irish and Fenian Republican Brothers tricolour flag, and it has to be above board, and their sovereign seal at all. And if you give that, you can use it. If you don't give it, you don't recognise the sovereignty. And that's what we're saying. That's what we're saying to Tom Ryan this evening. You don't recognise the sovereignty of the state or that the Irish and Fenian Republican Brotherhood. We don't want that. We want everything to be above board, and anything I write goes up on that website. I have no choice in that. It has a sovereign seal for the people to read it. And that's where it is. And that's the way it should be.
Okay. So it's billymaguire.com. That's the website. And Billy, hopefully we will see you on the 21st of January. I'll definitely be there.
Well, I thank you very much.
I appreciate everything
that you're
doing. You
wrote that proclamation. I was really, you really did. And, you that's what's so important for what we have.
Thank you to your listeners. Yeah, thank you, Billy, for joining us, and we'll see you in 2 weeks, Billy. Okay, I'll see you anyway.
Thanks very much.
Thank you, Billy. Bye bye.
And a happy new year and our 100th anniversary, and the next 100 will be brilliant.
Absolutely.
And we'll have a sovereign government.
We will, God willing. Yeah. Thank you, Billy.
Good night to you and your listeners.
Okay, folks, that was Billy Maguire from the IRB, and a very interesting man. I know he went on a bit, but, there's a lot of interesting stuff he put in there. You know, you just got to maybe want to listen to it again, but some really good stuff. I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a break, and then we're going to come in our second hour. We're going to have Robert Croft, also known as Gran Torino, on for our second hour. So we'll just play a song. I think you have it lined up, Graham. John Martin's Sweet Little Mystery. We'll be back to you in about 5 minutes. Hello, Rowan. Can you hear me?
Okay. How's that? Any better?
That's a bit better, yeah. You were breaking up a bit there now.
Yeah, sorry about that.
We were having, because we had the last guest was on my phone, for some reason we couldn't bring you in on Skype. But anyway, we got you now. That's the main thing. So, welcome. Roland Croft, also known as Gran Torino. He's putting out a lot of YouTube videos, particularly in the last last 3 or 4 months I've found you, and you're putting out a lot of really good stuff. You're going around the country. We're going to kind of keep this focused on Ireland because our last guest, Billy Maguire, he was the president of the IRB. There's a huge day coming up, 2 weeks' time, the 21st of January, where we celebrate our sovereignty because we are a sovereign people and a sovereign nation, and it's a big day. And so we're going to, you focus a lot on things going on in Ireland at the moment, Rowan, and maybe we'll just start off with, how did you get into this? I mean, obviously you were looking around you and you thought, this country's fallen to bits, so you're going to get out there and do something. Is that it? Just give us a kind of brief outline of where you came from and how you got into this.
First of all, thanks very much for having me on your show, and hello. And a hidey hey to all your listeners.
Yeah.
It's a strange situation to be in. I'm not one for creeping out and looking around, but exactly as you described there, I got a sense. I got involved with Q last year. I seen some of your comments on the show there to the link that you sent me, and I know your listeners will be aware. So let me say from the outset, I know you want to keep it Ireland central, but I know other people have other questions about some of the other stuff going on that we need to talk about. So I've no problem going there if you want to touch on any of them subjects too.
Yeah, we can touch on some of them, yeah.
All the way to the Killargy and back, as Zebra says.
Exactly, yeah, on the Killargy clan, exactly. So as you said, you were out there just probably doing your own thing. I know you're big into martial arts and everything. That's why you start off with your show with us. I was already wondering what this OSS meant, Maybe you want to explain that for a few people. What does that actually mean?
Yeah, I get it all the time. People from abroad saying, oh, stop throwing up the Baphomet. Stop throwing up the devil's horns. It's nothing like that.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
And I previously owned a pair of red shoes. I still wear them. Mm-hmm. We can't let them take everything, Mm-hmm. But the J for Jiu-Jitsu, I got into martial arts about 3 or 4 years ago. And I think I'd never done I'd done previous martial arts when I was younger, Taekwondo and all that donkey stuff. Yeah. But when I got involved with Q and I got at my levels of understanding and my broadened my horizons on a whole range of subjects, traumatized myself to bits, as I'm sure you have all had that kind of journey.
Oh, been there and back, man.
So my very first video that I did, I've been looking at for a year. I've been watching YouTube and don't bother with the black box anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just I watched the likes of Lion, I watch Alex Jones, and slowly becoming aware of the whole narrative the history was a lie. Everything we've ever believed is a goddamn lie. So I've opened my mind to all levels of understanding. So my bugbear is, I have kids. My kids are growing up now. They're leaving college last year in college, doing their own thing. I've told them to get the skidoo out of Dodge, get their J1s or whatever if they need to, and get to the States and start building themselves up over there.
But
it was for kids. And when I seen the FGM stuff over here, and it was 6,000 girls have had FGM. We've got 2 state-of-the-art FGM clinics.
Female genital mutilation,
and I'm
pretty, pretty horrendous, that is. Yeah.
Pretty horrendous, and I'm also against male genital mutilation as well. There's no need for circumcision, all that BS as well.
Yeah.
But going through this kind of journey, when I took up the gumption to put myself out on YouTube, and I kind of knew because I'd spent a year with the Patriot Soapbox, and it was kind of perfect training ground. And I met a huge array of patriots and people from all around the world over there. And we were all just coming to our own levels. So it was a great leap forward, a great opportunity. I got picked up by Pamphlet. And Moto and Jeevi was the guy that put me up because Pamphlet announced call for help on the Alex Jones show. I jumped over there and I was quickly elevated by pure fortune, myself and another English guy, and started covering Q. Started looking into the American Constitution, started understanding about Thomas Paine and the pamphlets and, the Serbian queue in the early days was very militaristic. Very militaristic. Most people in them conversations were ex-military, so we had a kind of an already agreed upon set of parlance that we understood. So brevity was, because we were deep diving, we were only catching up with MK Ultra stuff, and we were getting the 1977 congressional briefings and reading it from start to finish. Took hours online on the YouTube channel. It just blows you away. It just blows you away.
Sorry, go ahead. Oh, I just said it's a huge onion with so many layers to it, and you're peeling away one at a time. You're going, what next? My God, you know, where does this end?
Because I disengaged and I totally switched off from Irish media, the black box was long dead. I am like most people, as the rest of you guys out there, I watch my phone, everything I view is through the phone. It's portable, it's there. And you're going from one YouTube creator to different levels. I used to follow Atheism is Unstoppable. I was charging around after Christopher Hitchens, and I was watching the debates with Dinesh D'Souza and all the other great thinkers. Then the Sam Harris's came up aboard, and I was very much an atheist then, you know, because I'd suffered under Catholicism, under the Christian Brothers, you know. I'd said in one of my videos there that I wasn't sexually abused, but I was physically abused. And it put a mocker on my any schooling or formal education. So I got into the workforce early with my father, and I was up that breed in the 80s, 14 and 15. So when the YouTube stuff come around, I was pretty tasty on the computers, but I knew I was going to have to start speaking out because I could see events. I called President Trump early the year before. Anybody following my Twitter in my personal circle thought I was mad. Yeah, what a racist. Says, you're not paying attention. You're not seeing what's going on. You don't understand the mockingbird, paperclip, the whole lot. This is just a charade. And then seeing it transposed here to Ireland was going, well, I think I've six, seven months kind of ahead of the curve that I could start producing and start speaking out about it. And then things just escalated from there.
Yeah. Right. So I know what you're doing now. You seem to be on the road a lot. You've been concentrating a lot on these what are called direct provision centres, which we're seeing popping out all over Ireland, and particularly in small little towns and villages across Ireland where, you know, where the local population have not been consented at all, you know, consented to this at all.
Consulted.
Suddenly, if they've got, you know, if they've got a small hotel or something in the village, suddenly there's 70 people from Africa or the Middle East are just plonked there, you know. This is causing a lot of problems, and I know a lot of people, you know, they're obviously don't want to see themselves as racists, and they kind of feel that, you know, the poor refugees, they're suffering, they're fleeing from war, and there's a bit of sympathy there for them, but still in all, they're kind of saying, you know, well, you actually don't really belong here, and it's not that we don't like you or anything like that, but what we can't really help you, and this is not right, because you're interfering with the way our life, you know, we've lived this way for eons, and suddenly now we have to put you first while we have our own problems to deal with, you know?
Yeah.
So you were, you know, you've gone around to a few of these places and there was a lot of public talks and stuff like that. So do you want to give us a brief rundown on a few of those that you went to?
Yeah, trying to pick off your question as you're going there, and I'll say that every different spot that I went to, I have the opportunity and I have the capability to do it. I knew getting out about outside broadcast, that's why I got the gimbal. I knew YouTube was going to be the great conversation breaker because the mainstream over here just wasn't giving us fair coverage of everything and anything. And it was the exact same as the American mainstream news outlets controlled by globalists. And, you know, we've got our mass media controlled by Dobby. Dobby has his own. I'm going to be careful with my, you know, you have to go with inferences with me as well.
Yeah.
Because the reason I'm trying to, with the YouTube, is to try and meet people at the level that they were at, that they're still attached to the mainstream, that are still taking their information from their trusted news sources, the Irish Times, the Independent, the journalists that they put their faith in, the politicians that they've followed from cradle to grave through the generations, and people trying to break that dissonance to say, look, these people aren't the people you think they are. There's a whole we have our own deep state. We have all that BS here. We're the all in our location for the cabal. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And all the main players are there. And the JQ players, they're all there. We know who they all are. Yeah. We know the Wiccan witches. We know the Luciferians. Mm-hmm. We know this place is infested with pedophiles. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got to try and wake a percentage. I'd always say a percentage of the population.
Yeah.
We don't need to wake everybody up. And we don't need everybody to know the full horror. But when the stuff happens in the States, this is what I've been kind of preempting and prepping and just waiting for that confirmation. Because it, you know, when I get attacked by, you know, the usual suspects, you know, if you follow my Twitter feed or you're following the events that have happened out throughout the year, and, you know, I don't pay any attention to any of that. I do pay attention to it. Still currently getting attacked from Cork. Still being accused of being a white supremacist Nazi, you know.
There's a certain lady, I won't name names, but she's out there causing a lot of shit for a lot of people, actually.
And I don't claim victimology. I pity that person. I really do. I think it's weaponized poverty. Mm-hmm. I think she's weaponized poverty. I think she's a false flag. And mm-hmm. You know, and all their creepy phone calls and all their secret messages that they keep dropping me, and you know, you're barking up the wrong tree. I don't have time for that. You're nothing in the big grand scale of things that we're all looking at. So as you say, going around to the people, every location is the same people. They know it's, as you described, Bruiser, it's wrong. We'd love to help you, but, you know, short-termism and stuff like that. But then we have to appreciate that they're all stuck in the liberal mind virus of, you know, they're still being bombarded with transgenderism. They're still being bombarded with refugees' rights. They're, you know, you want to talk to somebody about the 9/11 facts or anything like that, the new grand jury that's just been empaneled and empowered, you know, that's history in the making there just from the start, because once that ball is rolling, we'll see the effects of that in 4 or 5 years to come, I'd say, when the real truths of it all starts, because as we all know, Building 7, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know, and there was a multitude of bad actors and all that. I'm trying not to stream off in 3 different tangents. Yeah. Because I wanted to focus on, as you say, people trying to say, look, I'm not racist, but, you know, what about our own? What about our culture? What about our way of life?
Yeah.
You know, people aren't stupid. I mean, as much as we say they're detached, they see the vile things in their WhatsApp groups, you know, the horror shows that are the two Scandinavian girls that, you know, that had that horror over there. That's been going to be around in some people's WhatsApp groups, and that has to trigger their curiosity as to what the hell were them girls doing over there?
Mm-hmm.
Now, how could you be so misunderstood? Where were their fathers? The people, you know, their fathers I look to, as mm-hmm. the golden one spoke about. You should, my child went away, she traveled away to with her friends to Paris, Germany. I made sure she was clued up, never to be alone, never to trust strangers, everything. Mm-hmm. To even think that if she thought that she was going to the Southeast or the Middle East in any sort of direction, not a chance. I'd be born in a passport. Whatever it took, that was not going to happen. And to let them two poor, unfortunate souls go over there and experience that, you know, our politicians, our media are complicit. And if that level of violence is creeping into our society bit by bit, and we're getting stung by 1,000 cuts, the rapes, the misinformation from the mainstream describing the perpetrators, you've seen it happen in the UK.
Such an
unfettered and boil on society. You could see the rot of Telford, Rotherham. It was just left unchecked. England is a fallen state. It's gone.
Yeah, it's in a bad way, you know, and a lot of Brits know about that, and they're trying to...
Over here in this country, everywhere I travel, every provision centre I went to, I heard accents. All the UK accents are there.
Yeah.
And French. All the French, but now they can see the other, not the bad actors, but the instruments of our demise through their demographics, that they're the effect on the demographics and their culture being strong. You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Being strong, the Qatari-funded barracks that are being built around the country. These are time bombs.
Yeah, I know. So, what was the general reaction you got from locals when you went to these places? Were they careful what they said, or were there people who were forthright in their views?
Well, the first ones were when I did Ruski first, and I didn't want to bring people up. I was conscious of putting people up on the YouTube with their faces exposed, you know, because it's not a nice thing. So I just walked around, made some observations and made my point and then left. And but the follow up and people contacted me on Twitter, you know, glad you came up and took an eye on it. And then RTE had more or less did a follow up then mainstream and did their fluff piece that they did as if they were covering it. Then went down to Wicklow. Seen in Wicklow, I met Lauren Southern down there as well. She came over to cover, so that was a bit of a bonus meeting her and Caelan. Because, you know, regardless of whatever they're being called on YouTube, I know they're good people, you know. I know they're doing it for whatever intentions they're.
Yeah, so, I know who they are. And I mean, I don't know these people, and I know there's, you know, oh, they're this, then they're that. I don't know, and I don't like to call out people unless I know. I judge people by their character, you know, that's me. That's the way I operate, you know.
Yeah, and I got to meet them personally, and they're the kind of people that I imagine them to be.
All right.
Well, you know, I could look them in the eye.
Yeah.
And I follow their careers enough to know.
But
people's reactions are, you know, they are finding a voice, and I find it particularly with the older generations, people that before the internet know what life was like before the internet, because our millennials, our kids, they've been brainwashed, they've been captured.
Yeah.
Pretty much worldwide.
Exactly.
With the destruction of our education, and, you know, and I'm sorry I missed the first hour of a guest, because I am trying to get my, I'm trying to broaden my horizons on the Constitution, and I think there's a vital opportunity for us to.
Yeah, I think we should, if you can, get your camera down to that Mansion House at 12 noon on Monday, you know, 2 weeks today. They're not going to let him in. They're actually not going to let him into the Mansion House to perform the turning of the seals. So that just shows you what he's up against here, you know.
I'll cover it. I'm trying to get my schedule together, because I've only really just started back again today. You're the first public thing I've done since Dowson up in Belfast.
Yeah, kind of echoing a little bit there, Ron.
I'm on the. I think it's when you hold down something. It comes and goes.
All right, yeah, it's okay now. It's fine now. Yeah, and then they said they're going to back down to the Teachers Club, which is on Parnell Square in Dublin, which is just off O'Connell Street, and they're going to probably have to do the ceremony there, and it'll be talks and everything, and it'll be a nice way for people to meet up. And I would say to people who are thinking of going, you know, don't bring any flags or political slogans or anything, because it's not about that. It's just about celebrating our sovereignty and our independence, who we are as a people. That's it, as Irish people, Irish men and women, as the first words of our proclamation. That's who we are, that's what we're about, and we're celebrating our sovereignty. And it'll be a good day out, and it'll be great, you know, again, to meet up with a lot of like-minded people, because I have been at one or two of these before in the last few years, you know, and it was great, you know, you meet so many, you know, so many different opinions from, and people who come from different outlooks and whatever, but we're all on the same path. And it's great to kind of meet people face to face, because I know we do a lot of this stuff online, by YouTube videos or Skype calls or whatever, right? But to actually go out there and meet people face to face. Like, I mean, I met you, Rowan, I met you at the vigil that the IR exit party were doing outside Leinster House against the UN migration plan.
That was a bit of crack.
And that was good. And then I also met you at a talk that a wonderful journalist, ex-journalist now actually, well, as an ex-mainstream media journalist, Gemma O'Doherty.
Yeah, Gemma, doing great work.
But she's on a kind of, she does her own YouTube live streams as well, various guests. She's completely red-pilled, this lady. It's incredible, because she was pretty on the straight and narrow until she went too close for comfort against the establishment, and she was thrown out on her ear, basically. So she's fighting back. And it's just, this is what it's all about, you know, to get people like that who are part of all of that, who were, you know, went into the media thinking it was a good profession and then got shafted, and you know, because they were trying to do the right thing. So now they're out there calling it out, calling out the corruption, the lies, the scandals, the, you know, as you said, the, you know, the these gangsters who are controlling everything, whether it's be government, corporations, you name it, what they're doing to the people of this country. And once we realize this, as you said, once we hit a critical mass, we can turn this around, you know, but we have to come together on it. And because it's, otherwise, you know, we've got a small window of opportunity, I think, now. And if if we can get it together in the next few years, we can turn this around. And I think Ireland is the place to do it because we're a small country. We don't have to travel far to meet up, you know. We can do these things and get that momentum behind us and move forward. And I'm seeing a lot of positive things from 2018. I really have seen a lot of good stuff happening. I'm looking forward to this year because this is going to be a crucial one. What do you reckon yourself?
Yeah, just kind of holding you to the last thought there, strategizing or thinking forward. Bit of an echo there again. Ryan, can you take
it? Yeah.
You got your mic on?
I'll just mute while you speak. That might help. Hang on. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, just going back to your last thought there about 2018, the elections, and that we can turn it around. Yeah, we are. We're tight. We're small. We're a nation of 5 million. We've been very malleable over the last couple of years. We've been probably been the social experiment by keeping broadband and communications to a minimum out in rural areas, but the capital city being A-OK. But the traveling around, how poor the even over in the main cities like Sligo and all, how poor the Wi-Fi is, and trying to transmit these meetings and just show people from all around the country when they look at the YouTubes, at the town hall meetings, you know, speaking against, not against the hoteliers, but questioning them to their motives. And the one down in Rosslare was very enlightening. You know, people were quite animated and quite mobilized and quite aware, even when I mentioned the UN migration pact.
Yeah.
You know, I think the silent majority are there. I think the silent majority, I think, are way bigger. I think these lefty groups who are being facilitated by the mainstream media and given cover and given credence of some sort with their pseudoscience. Mm-hmm. I was recently corrected that I have to make sure I pronounce that correctly. Pseudoscience and nonsense.
Yeah.
That's directly targeting the family. That's you know, splitting families apart. The state is, I mean, from my understandings and going research again, the state is on a trajectory of fascism. You know, here we are, the small Joe Soaps, trying to broadcast and trying to, you know, get people to have this alternative viewpoint, to look to other different sources of information and question their epistemology and their levels of understanding. And, you know, there's plenty of incidences out here in our own mainstream of bold-faced lies by journalists. And we just spoke about Gemma O'Doherty and, you know, John Waters now as well. And I'm hoping some of the other older journalists will reappear as well on the new media. That they, you know, we may fall, we may get censored, we may get struck out, and more people. And I encourage people, if you're halfway thinking of setting up your own YouTube channel, get out there and do it. Don't be afraid of it. Because the more of us, the more voices that there are, you know, speaking with the voices of reason and trying to do their level best to, you know, to preserve our culture. You know, the racism accusations and the stuff like, but the demographic changed. If we don't control our destinies and allow the cabal, the globalists of the EU, I mean, I try not to go off on too many tangents because I'm aware I kind of have to keep to a lesser level and not get carried away, because then people go, what the hell are you talking about? Pizzagate or any of that kind of jazz. You just
I know, yeah. We can't for the ordinary folk out there, we can't do that. That's why I get out there and talk to people. I kind of concentrate on the bread and butter issues, as in, you know, why are you paying all these big high taxes? What's this austerity about? You know, why are you facing problems with your mortgage and all that? You know, why are all these things happening? And get them to question all of these things and look at things and see that they are actually being shafted, left, right, and centre.
Yeah.
And that their government do not give a toss about them.
Our government's being captured. Our government was captured a long time ago. But the recent ascension of our own 44. If you go and look at where he sprung from, who he trained under, and when we see the tribunals happen across the pond, and you know that their tentacles and how far they've reached, and then if you look, follow the path of Sutherland, go to Copenhagen, and we follow Coveney, and you know that there's another globalist empire, another real subversion, two big, huge globalists.
Bilderberg,
to have the reins of power of our country.
Yeah.
And then we have the JQ coming in the background, trying to bring in hate speech and all this Bolshevik nonsense. And then they're only a short hop skipping away once they get to the hate speech laws. They're going to be bringing in pedosexual as an identity. Yeah. And they're going to be targeting kids the way they've been. It's been going on in the States.
Yeah. It's all there. And sadly, what seems to have happened in our education system, I just think in the last, say, 20 years or something, kids come out of school now being brainwashed with this nonsense. And
2005, the Clintons came over here and they were doing the peace agreements back in the day, John Hume and all of that jazz. Yeah. That is when a UCD from professor for Buffalo UCD, he eventually became the head of DCU, but he came from the Buffalo UCD that was kind of all the Sarah Linskyites, where they were kind of trained, and then they set up an exchange of professors. That's where I believe the liberal nonsense started coming in when the Clintons got their professors to do a trade swap. And then these I can only describe them as the early inceptors of the Sarah Linsky, the Ruth Bader Ginsburg nonsense. You know, to bring in the equality nonsense and subvert it, you know, bring in the socialism, then and then creep into cultural Marxism that it's being ramped up to now. And it's gone full tilt. I mean, for me, the early board sign for me was when Leo ran off and scuttered off and did PESCO straight away without any debate. That was his first step over the mark.
PESCO.
Tariffs are having an effect. Their funds are drying up. The pressure of its social media presences, you know, the civil war that's breaking out in France that's still not being covered by the mainstream. It's on fire over there.
I know. Yeah, I have heard reports that, particularly mostly in rural France, is pretty much closed down. You know.
Yeah, they're
it's quite, we're not hearing about that. We're hearing about, you know, protests in Paris and the big cities, but out in rural France.
But Macron is arresting. He's becoming Napoleon. He's arresting the leaders, taking them off the streets. But the people, the way the yellow vest movement, as I see it working in France, is great. Is it just shuts the main veins down. It just stops all operations. They don't make money. We don't make money. We all suffer. But we'll stay the course till you get that banker, that Rothschild banker, and put in a patriot, a nationalist.
Yeah.
And let's have the rule of law back together again. The place has already passed 16% of the demographic change that's going to make it an Islamic state sooner or later.
Yeah. What's your take on the whole yellow vest thing? Because I hear rumors again that it could be controlled opposition. I haven't seen any real evidence of that yet. But, you know, I keep watching it, though. It is interesting. I'm seeing a lot of good stuff coming out of it. And I saw even the
yellow vest has been subverted anywhere it's here, but a feckin' left.
Yeah.
You know, the PHPs and all the feckin' socialist nonsense trials. Strike with the common man, the ordinary man. They've long forgotten about the common man or the ordinary man.
Oh, yeah. But I did see a video, because there's a small yellow vest movement here in Ireland. I think you've covered one or two of them as well, haven't you? Have you been to...
I went down to the Strokestown and I did a speech there from Glenn, who's the originator of the yellow vest movement here in Ireland, and who was doxxed, and his private life, as mine has happened to me, he was doxxed and his personal information came out. So, and again, the labels were thrown out. He's an ordinary Joe Soap, ex-military, father of four, single father of four, doing his best, and he sees what's going on in his country, and he's using the means that's been presented to him with the yellow vests of France or whatever. But you see their Facebooks all popping up, all trying to claim, you know, that they're the moderators of the yellow vest. The yellow vests have no political heads or states. It's the people all just coming together under one banner. No Palestine flags, no Syrian flags. No, bring your Irish flag. Because you represent the yellow vest, and it's happening in the nation, the Republic of Ireland. Republic of Ireland.
Yeah. And that's what was striking at that vigil that, you know, the IRA exit party set up in early December. And there was a good 200 what we call good Irish people there who were standing up for you know, ourselves, our nation.
And then you had
about maybe 50 of these... cultural Marxists from particularly from this party called People Before Profit, who are claiming to be anti-capitalist, anti-government type of thing, but they're actually controlled opposition completely. And
they're the globalists. They're the useful fools of the globalists.
They're the useful fools, the idiots. I reckon they're all paid their Soros money gone in there big time.
Ah, yeah, yeah.
Give them all, you know, give them all.
18 billion was thrown into you know, left-wing organizations. They get their funding. Well, the states and all the Antifa and all that get their funding through the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency in the states, when they issue the fines to the big corporations when they do their BP, their oil spills or whatever. They funnel all the funds into left-wing organizations. They get the fine money. I'm pretty sure that the main perpetrators that have been attacking me, that their funds are very mixed up and they're allied. You know, they are allies of Mr. Soros.
Yeah.
But I keep my head down. You know, I keep doing what I want to do. I don't pay attention because I know when the Dark Lord is put up in front of the military tribunals, which I cannot wait for.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you're going to do this type of stuff, you know, we have to expect the trolls to come back at us, you know, and the shills to come out. And they're out there.
But the paid agitators, they're the tricky ones, you know what I mean? Because they're getting funded. I mean, these communication officers for left-wing bent NGOs and calling me state-funded and saying that, I'm getting funds from the JQ or any of that kind of nonsense. You have to laugh. Yeah. You just want to, well, like 2000, as you say, I'm looking forward to 2019 and I'm looking forward to doing more outside broadcasts. So maybe, you know, a bit of door stopping, maybe do some old school journalism and the new citizen journalism, because that's all I am. That's what I'm trying to do. Content creator, citizen journalist or whatever. And if I can make a few bob doing it, then why the hell not?
Yeah. I mean, and of course, there was an event there at the end of the year which really hit the headlines here. Anyway, I think it hit pretty much internationally as well. It was the Roscommon event in Strokestown, where three elderly people were violently thrown out of their homes, and one of them was badly beaten up by, let's call them for what they are, they were thugs, right? Now, they came down from Northern Ireland. A different jurisdiction, obviously. One of the guys says, well, I'm not Irish, I'm British, you know, this type of thing. And again, that kind of stoked up all this old hatred again, this old sectarian stuff. But I mean,
that was exactly,
and people were concentrating on that. But the whole fact of the matter is, this bank, a Belgian bank called KBC Bank, who, again, I don't know the circumstances of what was going on between the bank and these people in their home. I don't know what it was, but even still, to do that was criminal, without a doubt. And what does our Prime Minister do, Leo Varadkar? He apologizes to the security company, you know, for what happened to them. I mean, but you know what it did, though? Despite whatever the circumstances were, it woke up people to a silent crisis in this country, which is the eviction crisis. And I know this myself, Rowan, because I'm going through it myself.
Really, yeah?
I am. I'm there right in the thick of it. I'm keeping them at bay, though. I'm still there.
Yeah.
But
there's a lot of people, Bruiser, out there. If you look at the stats, the amount of mortgages that are 2 years behind, or even the long term, the 10-year ones. But when we look back, when we were sold a patsy, like I'd love to go down the economics chat, but I know we're short, tight on time and stuff like that. But of course, we could turn this whole ship around. You only have to look at what Trump's doing. When you do what needs to be done and get someone in there that can do it, you know, it just has enough people behind it. We're like I said, we're small and agile, but we're vulnerable. I think these general elections are crucial for us at least to get a recognised party that gets government funding, so we can start having a conservative viewpoint, as an alternative viewpoint.
Yeah, there's none of that in this country. They're all either...
Nothing, no. Paid opposition.
Yeah. Right. So you got the mainstream parties, which are, you know, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, Labour, maybe Sinn Féin. And then you got these smaller parties, but they're all left of centre, all of them. There's no.
But the new media is rising, though, Bruiser. We can't lose hope.
It is rising now. Yeah,
You've seen Emmett Corcoran there, the Democrat, out in Gemma interviewed him on my channel there, and he got a huge response. So people are paying attention, and this guy's is journalist trained, but he's self sufficient. That's what we need: more self sufficient, honest journalism, different news information. People will come to their own conclusions. We can't. Can't force anybody to rethink. They have to come to their own conclusions.
That's right. And you can get a newspaper that can come out and give us the proper news of what's going on. You know, that's what I like about that little local newspaper in Roscommon. You know, that they're actually doing that and they're not being directed to by advertisers or anything like this. You know what I mean? They actually just say, "No, we're giving you the news, and this is it." And fair play to them on that. And, you know, that's why I'm very optimistic about what I'm seeing going on here, you know. there is something. There has been a major shift because we were very much asleep at the wheel, Rowan, as you know, very, very much asleep.
I've
been awake to this since about 2008. It took me a long time to get from when I woke up to not really knowing anything to where I am now. My God, I've learned so much.
A lot of people are going through that. There's a lot of us out there, a lot of early adapters, that, as we should say to ourselves, you know, because... Say like the likes of John Waters and then yourself through your own personal circumstance and being forced to kind of help yourself get out of a situation or to an understanding. You're saying that the complete mess, but that's all been by design. This has been, we have to look at the Black Mirror, the TV, look at all the main actors in RTE and their political affiliations and their family histories and how tied they all are into the small chain and they look after each other. Been going on for donkeys. But the genie's out of the bottle. We have the internet now. Mm-hmm. We have these YouTube content creators. We have these schools of science and different understandings. And we're going, my Jesus, school was a waste of time. Why wasn't all of this information being poured out? These ways of thinking, like, just, you know, people are, I'd say this, they are out there, but maybe some of them are in the left-wing spheres of the Young Turks and, you know, the stuck in a loop. Maybe the CNN, they're still following CNN and they're getting that, their confirmation biases are being reassured by, he's a Nazi. Well, these are respected American journalists. Surely, you know, they wouldn't lie to us. And yes, of course, he's look at the disgraceful things that he's saying. And then the young kids fall in for it because they've been indoctrinated. You know, not saying, well, where's your evidence? Where's the fact? 2 years of Russia collusion, not a single crime against the president. Time to shut it down. Time to start dropping the hammer and declass the FISA.
Yeah, that's the problem is when you try and debate the ordinary folk on the street, or at least try and engage in a conversation with them, because that's all I try and do, is I just find that they're just repeaters. They just repeat what they hear in the news. They can't actually back anything up what they say. So when you actually push them, that's why I like to ask them questions. Say, what do you mean by that? You know, and why do you think that way? And they can't give me an answer.
There's a great book by Peter Boghossian. How to create an atheist or how to break an atheist, and it's a set of questionnaires. It was very interesting. I read the book. I don't think I got the title right, but some of the practitioners of the book started creating YouTube content creators, and it was about their questioning their epistemology. It's not attacking their personal beliefs or their ideology, but asking them, as you do with God or as you do in your questioning there, how do you know what you know? How do you know? Do you trust it? Do you question it? Do you use your critical thinking? And is this my position, or am I just grabbing headlines, or do I research, or I can't be arsed? But how do you know what you know? And then question it by just leading them into softball questions. And it was a fantastic resource. And then another great book I'd recommend is Mike Serovich, Guerrilla Mindset. And I know he gets a lot of a lot of shtick now at the moment, but he's his own stuff. But that mindset is the alpha male brain set to come back around again, to stand up for traditional families and say, yeah, look, we're at that stage now as well. It's not going to get physical. It can get physical. It could get physical. We have to be prepared for that. But ideologically, we can still question and, you know, deal with these people in debates and on the street. But as you said, getting out in the street is critical, and the yellow vest is inspiring the middle class, the very squeezed middle class, to come out and vent on the streets and under a safe banner. Whereas if they jump out and they start talking to me, I'm already ascribed to be, you know, the next Herr Flitten, whatever. You know what I mean? And people, once you're tainted like I am or we are, as you are being the early adapters, people won't go to that. But when they see a neutral position, yeah, they'll go to that. Because it's safe, and then it's from them safe harbors that they interact. So getting out and meeting and going to the vigils and interacting with not just you know, face to face, it's there's a lot to be said for that, as you were saying earlier. There's very much a lot to be said.
And a lot of people who are beginning to question, they have a lot of questions, and it's up to us because we know a lot more than we did back then, and we know a lot more now. So it's up to us to kind of guide people along, not tell them.
Exactly, not tell them.
Just guide them and say, well, this, or get them to, you know, just go thinking, or have a look at this, have a look at that, and make up your own mind.
Yeah, I want to present them with something and say, well, what do you think about this? And can we, can we agree on one position, or like crowd or doors or anything like that? I couldn't do it anywhere that tight, but it's the debate. It's not even the debate. I don't like debating, because you look at the point score, and I'm not the point score. I want that open flow conversation where two people can have two diametrically opposed positions, but can come together and you know, and reach a premise or a hypothesis.
Another man you talked to a lot, I got his book. Of course, my mother got me his book. A guy called John Waters, another ex-mainstream media journalist, who was very vocal when he was in the mainstream. He was very vocal about fathers' rights and all that, and how fathers were getting shafted in the family courts, which is absolutely true, big time.
Early adapter, you know, the flags, the warning signs, and he was at that mind.
And I'm only about halfway through his book, but it is fascinating how he goes through it all. How, you know, the book is about a kind of, like, he's writing to his father, who's now dead, of course, and telling him, like, what it was like, you know, when he was growing up as a kid in rural Ireland, and just seeing the changes through the decades to where we are now, you know?
Yeah.
And it's a fascinating kind of journey, because, you know, I've been there myself, pretty much. I'm about 10 years younger than John, but I could see exactly what he was talking about, and he's spot on, you know. And it's great to have a voice like him out there, because he is well respected, even though he is controversial. He is still well respected, and he's very well spoken.
Controversial in what way, though? I mean, controversial to us? He wouldn't be controversial to us.
No, not to us, absolutely. But, you know, he was out there. I mean, he was controversial because he was being attacked from all sides.
Yeah.
So people thought he was controversial, right? But in fact, he was just speaking pure common sense.
Exactly.
How can common sense be controversial, you know what I mean?
But he was going against the establishment norm of the narrative that they're trying to construct, you know, the state can take care of your every need. That's what I'm saying.
He was going into great detail about the Frankfurt School and cultural Marxism and everything, which I thought was amazing, you know. And this guy knows what's happening, who's behind it all. I mean, he's obviously careful about how he says it, because, you know, he's a public
figure. He's experienced the early trolls, you know, they attack him on email and stuff like that. Whereas we get it on Twitter now, where we get...
Yeah.
But he got the taste of it, but he's having a great not only a resurgence in his voice, but he's seen the usefulness now of the social media, where he despised it beforehand.
Yeah,
so we're coming back now. We've identified the Twitter, the left leaning organizations, even the YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these corporations that are facilitating now to squeeze and, you know, and censor the conservative viewpoints anywhere can do it, or the right leaning, you know, center right. If anything left, we can see how bent on the left they are, and how so far off the range that anything over the shoulder is fascism and Nazism, and they're just lost about.
Yeah, I know.
John's resurgence is great, and his jump back into the social media.
I
much encourage him to do his own YouTube channel.
Yeah. Well, himself and Gemma O'Doherty, you know, both in the same sphere, and who were up against it, and they are now at the forefront out there. Two very well experienced, very well educated, very well spoken people.
Yeah,
who know what's
very
going on.
Very brave souls as well.
Very brave as well, taking a lot of flack from all angles.
A lot of personal hardship, especially Gemma. Gemma, you know, I don't want to talk too much, but she suffered a great deal from the harassment she got off Dobby. And so too, John Waters, with his family circumstances look like that, just being vilified and publicly like that, with no support.
Just to tell our international listeners, Dobby is a guy called Dennis O'Brien, who was a big supporter of the Clintons, isn't that right? You know, so there we go.
be careful.
Oh, I said it, you know. But, you know... I just put it out there. I call the facts out for what they are.
That's another very important thing as well, is to verify and fact check and try and just.
Make no, sure you know, 100%. It's not me attacking people. Just, you know, I'm not attacking them. I'm just attacking what their actions and questioning, like, what are you doing here? Because this is not in the interest of the Irish people. This is in the interest of a small clique or an elite of people who are shafting the Irish people. How can that be right? You know, that's all I'm doing, and that's not a climb. Last time I checked, you know,
not at the moment.
No, but I mean, not at the moment, no, because they are trying to push the whole hate speech thing in, and I think that is coming down the line, and we got to resist that big time.
They may try, but I think European events will certainly change. Let's say 2019 is going to be something completely different, I reckon.
Yeah.
2018 was supposed to be glorious, but it was. 2016 was the best.
It was a start. It was the kick. It was a spark. We needed a spark, you know, to get things going. And I think that's what 2018 was. And we saw quite a few sparks, actually.
What do you think about this new French cardinal speaking out about that Europeans should be for the Euro? It's Catholic bishop. I think he's either a bishop or a cardinal. Cardinal Sess. But he was on a... Yeah, no, he was on Ropley there. It's kind of going viral. Paul Joseph Watson tweeted out his interview that he did, the bishop. But he spoke about Europeans should be for the Europeans, you know, and that stuff, that if we allow too much cultural diversity, it'll choke the roots of European society, and we'll lose Europe as we know it today. And it's very much what we're all thinking. Yeah, yeah, come
on. Exactly. Well, you know, I mean, again, I'm not a major Christian either, you know, but
I'm coming back to my faith. I don't mind saying that publicly now as well.
We are from a Christian heritage, you know, whether we like it or not, that's where we are. You know, I like to go back even further than that, but as things stand, that's where we are. We're Christian heritage, and we, you know, that's been attacked big time as well, and there's obviously a reason for that, because they want us completely. Devoid of any spiritual connection whatsoever, you know, just turn us into mind control consumerist zombies, you know, that's so easy to control. So that's interesting. And of course the Dalai Lama came out with something similar too, didn't he, last year?
Yeah.
He came out as well, at Europe, you know, as for the Europeans, and you know, and all these lefties who were supporting Tibet, you know, who were being, you know, all the Chinese were going in there into Tibet, you know.
Well, they're persecuting the Christians in China. Have you seen any of them reports? They're actually burning churches and killing parishioners in China.
So, there's a lot happening in the world, and but I like to kind of keep it focused here in Ireland, because this is where I live, and I hate to see what's going on in this country at the moment. It upsets me greatly.
I'm sure it upsets a lot of people, especially the older generation now, who don't feel like they have a voice.
You know, and
they remember what it was like.
So I feel that I've got to stand up, and I've seen it for myself, my own personal experience, how the system works. And
who would benefit?
It's all based on lies and deception. And once people see through that and get to the truth, and we can move forward. And, you know, and it's, again, you know, I talked about this in other shows, that we have to lose this fear of being called names and this type of stuff. We've got to lose that fear.
It doesn't mean
it's just a label. You can take it off. If someone puts a label on you, take it off. Simple as that. You're a sovereign man. You've got God-given inalienable rights. No one can take that from you.
Nobody. Inalienable rights.
That's what sovereignty is all about. That's what Billy Maguire talks about. That's what we're here for. And we're here to pass this on to the next generation and the generations to come. And we don't want to lose this, because this is a special place as far as I'm concerned. Ireland's a special place. I always have a strong... You know, I've lived abroad for many years, and I've always looked forward to coming back home and then eventually moving back home and setting up a home here and doing my thing, you know, working and all the rest of it. And hoping that things would work out. And, of course, everything went pear-shaped for me personally. So I'm now having to speak out and literally go out and defend what is right. Because I know what is right. And that's what you're doing and other people are doing. And it's gaining momentum. And we're getting there. And I think 2019 is going to be a big year. I really do. You know?
I agree.
Yeah. So, Ron, we're coming to the end of the show here. Any final thoughts, and then give us any contact details, whatever, or, you know, your YouTube and all that. Just, any final thoughts, and then we'll wrap this up.
Well, I want to thank you all for having me on your show. Appreciate that. I was looking for an opportunity to start speaking again somewhere, so this is a nice, gentle insertion of a few interviews lined up with some interesting characters. My next video is going to be my 100th video. Not bad. So I'm going to mark that on occasion.
Good eye. Yeah, that's a bit of a centenary there, celebration.
A milestone. I'm coming up on 10,000 subscribers, and I want to thank each and every one of them for sticking with me and through all the bad technology breaks. And I encourage anybody over there, get over and have a look and, you know, show your support.
So you're going under the name of Gran Torino, isn't that right?
Gran Torino, yeah. GRANDTORINO. Like, similar to the car butcher. It'll be grand.
It'll be grand, yeah. So that's on YouTube, folks. You can watch him there. He's taking a break over Christmas, but he'll be back again, in full force in the new year. Yeah. Check him out. Subscribe to his channel, and you'll get his... you'll get your notifications when he's doing a live stream show. Oh, it's very interesting. He's introduced some really very interesting guests, and I'd recommend him. And I've met the guy personally, straight up. He's one of our own. I don't see any agenda or motives here. I don't see any kind of mainstream backing or anybody sticking brown envelopes into his back pocket or anything. he's doing it because he cares about his country and his people, and that's what it's all about.
I want Ireland for my kids. That's the reason. I want to give them. Exactly. Like Brian Murphy said, society is the contract between the generations, and I don't think we've done enough to hand the way we got it, giving it to them.
No. Yeah, when you think of what our forefathers did during 1916 and War of Independence and all that stuff, what they, the sacrifices they made,
Exactly.
When you think of what they did, they put their lives on the line when you think about it. I know in my own family they did. My grandfather lost a leg, for God's sake, So, we got to take a leaf out of their books. The torch has been handed on to us. We carry it forward and we move on,
100%.
So, anyway, listen, thanks very much. We'll get you on thanks again in a couple of months or something, as Please things God. Develop, and we'll talk more because there's obviously loads more to talk about. And if you want, I can send you this link if you want to share it. Not a problem at all, okay?
That'd be great. Thanks very much.
Okay. Okay, Rowan, you take care, man, and I'll talk to you soon, okay? I hope to see you on the 21st of January, maybe.
Us.
Oh, God. Us, man. Take care. Bye-bye. Okay, folks, that was Gran Torino there. Also, Rowan Croft is his name, and good guy. I've met him. He's straight up. People might have different. He's a bit on the Trump train and all of that kind of thing. I don't necessarily go there, but he's straight up. He's a good guy, and that's what it's all about. I judge people by their character, and he cares. And I can see it in him. So we'll leave it at that, folks. We'll be back next week. Next week, hope to have it. We're going to go back to South Africa again. Karen Smith and Mark Schalk van der Merwe will be back on again, going more into South Africa. I want to kind of go more into the detail of that, about history and apartheid and that type of stuff. So we're going to talk more and have a more detailed show about South Africa. So until then, you take care. And again, we'll finish off with the usual song, The Goemno, and we'll catch you next week, folks. Take care now. Bye.
Hey, hi. What? I think the Goemno. That's ridiculous. The Goemno don't know. I think they know, man. They don't know.
They know.
we're gonna have to shut it down, 'cause the Goyim knows.